Spirits on Spirits, where we indulge in spirits and then investigate spirits. This week, we're heading down to Austin, Texas, the land of bats, bridges, and Matthew McConaughey. Aiden, tell the people what we're sipping on today.
All right, all right, all right. So this week, we're drinking a Mexican martini. It is one of the bigger drinks down in Austin. So it is 3 ounces of Reposado tequila, 1.5 ounces of Cointreau, 1.5 ounces of fresh squeezed lime juice, 1/2 ounce of martini olive brine juice, 0.3 ounces of fresh squeezed orange juice, a salt rim, lime wedges, and olives for garnish.
Nice. I'm excited. Obviously, I'm sipping on the unloaded version for us non-alcoholic drinkers out there. Aiden's obviously has live ammo in it, so I'm excited to taste it, hear it, feel the taste, all that kind of stuff, and then we'll obviously hear Aiden throughout the evening as he has a couple of these. So excited to get into it this week.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
Wait, we gotta cheers. We gotta start cheers. Off the podcast with a cheers.
Dude, cheers.
Cheers. Spirits on spirits. Cheers to Austin.
That was a nice.
It was. That was a crispy clink.
Crispy clink.
Ooh, that's good
stuff.
Yeah, right. I like that. The tequila alternatives out there are actually like surprisingly good. Like they got the flavor.
They've got all of the alternatives down.
They're so sweet.
I know a couple of non-drinkers. And yeah, they've got like some really solid mocktail alternatives.
Yeah, big fan.
All right, so this week my location is the Driscoll Hotel.
Ooh, okay.
In Austin, Texas.
Hotel in Austin. Nice.
It's a very nice hotel.
Very nice hotel.
Yeah. So it was built in 1886 by a cattle baron named Colonel Jesse Driscoll. And it was designed to be like the height of luxury.
Okay.
So over the years, it's been the place where like politicians, celebrities, musicians, actors have stayed.
So he built it with like an image in mind, and it's continued to uphold that throughout like a long period of time.
Yeah, like there's actually some cool stories with like famous people staying there. One of which I'll get into.
Okay, sweet.
So in 1934, a young congressman took a lady named Claudia.
Was Claudia his wife?
Well, not at the time.
No. Oh, okay. All right.
Not at the time. He wasn't married at the time.
Oh, so, yeah. I thought. You know what? Shame on me. For any time I hear a politician getting laid, I assume they're married and the person they're laying is not their wife.
That is fair.
Or spouse. Not judge. Lady.
True. Yeah, true.
Female congressman can also cheat.
No, that's fair. But yeah, in this case, it was a young couple going on their first date.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So it must have been a good date because just a few months later, the two were engaged. And then the man, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, I've heard that name before.
Ended up becoming the 36th president of the United States.
Yeah.
And Claudia Lady Bird Taylor would end up becoming one of the most popular first ladies in American history.
Yeah.
And then throughout his career, Johnson like kept on going back. So on election night in 1964, he used the hotel as his campaign headquarters.
Oh, that's cool.
And then he would keep returning throughout his life.
Nice.
Keeping a permanent reserve on the governor's suite.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Just, hey, I have this. If I'm in town, I'm staying here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty
cool. It was like his place.
That must be stressful for the people that like run that hotel, though. It's like you can never book your nicest room because the president of the United States might be in town and might need it.
I mean, I assume that he paid handsomely for that.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I don't know much about his background. Was he a wealthy man? I mean, I know presidents tend to make a lot of money after they're out of office, but
Yeah, I don't know what his financial status was. I assume pretty well off.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Let's get into it.
So, over time, like, numerous events would happen at the Driscoll.
Okay.
That would kind of etch its name into haunted lore history.
Whoa.
And, like, over the years, guests have had tons of eerie encounters. They've heard whispers. And then, seen some crazy stuff.
Seen some crazy stuff.
So, the first ghost that is said to still haunt the Driscoll is that of Jesse Driscoll himself.
Whoa.
The
cattle baron?
The man behind the whole thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, a wealthy cattle baron, Driscoll spared no expense in building this hotel. But luck for him would run out pretty quick. After losing a lot of his fortune in a harsh winter, which devastated his cattle business.
Sure.
He was forced to sell the hotel just 2 years after it opened.
Oh.
And then he passed away in 1890, which is like 4 years after it was built. So... but, I mean, it probably held a lot of, like, significance in his life.
Sure.
So, a lot of people think that his spirit still lingers there.
I would believe that.
Staff and guests have reported the scent of cigar smoke lingering in the air.
Oh, nice.
Even though the hotel's been a smoke-free area for many, many decades at this point.
There you go.
A staff member once tried to track the smell, only to hear a disembodied voice behind him asking for a match.
Oh. Could you imagine some, like, 19-year-old being like, who the fuck is smoking in my hotel? And then just, do you have a match, boy? And be like, nope, fuck
this. Excuse me, sir, you have a light.
Yeah. that would freak me out. That would definitely freak me out. I mean, that's one, so, okay, if I'm playing the skeptic, off the bat, I was like, I mean, people smoke in hotels that they shouldn't the time. Yeah. So I think, like, at first I was like, I could see that not being one. But then when there's a disembodied voice asking for a match, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty damning.
Yeah, that is pretty damning. I'm on board.
It's almost like he got too close to finding the source of the smell, and the guy was like, I gotta throw him off the scent.
Yeah.
Literally.
The ghost of Jesse D.
But so obviously when he turned around, there was no one there.
Sure.
And then he quit.
So he just quit. He was like, nope.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, nope. I'm not doing that.
Dude, you know what? Respect to that person, because I've had those days before where you're like one thing away from just being like, nope, I don't work here anymore.
Yeah, at first he was like, oh damn, I gotta go like yell at some guests about smoking.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden just some like random voice appeared and he was like, you know what? Nope. I'm out of here. Two annoying things at like the same time.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, no.
Yep. And like, you know, there was no hey, here are my 2 weeks. I'm just like, he definitely walked out, put his uniform like on the counter somewhere and just kept walking. He was like, I don't work here anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, no.
There's no 2 weeks for that.
No,
whatsoever. You're not sticking around there.
No. He's like, fuck this. I don't get paid enough to deal with this shit. Someone probably yelled at him over something stupid earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's chasing this down. He's like,
you took 16 minutes on your 15-minute break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, I'm fucking, there's plenty of non-haunted hotels in Austin to work at.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Ritz or something. And then another spirit at the Driscoll is that of a young girl who lost her life on the Grand Staircase.
Oh, geez.
So in 1887, so the year after it was built.
Yeah, okay.
4-year-old Samantha Houston, who was...
Oh, 4-year-old. Oh,
yeah, it's a pretty sad one. So she was the daughter of a senator from Texas.
Okay.
And she was staying at the hotel when she was playing and, like, running after a ball on the Grand Staircase, and she fell, and she died.
Must be a big-ass staircase if you just, like, go for a ball. And...
it is the Grand Staircase.
Yeah, that's so, fair.
Yeah, yeah, probably pretty big.
Yep, that's a tough one.
Yeah, so obviously heartbroken by the accident. Her family ended up having to, like, leave the hotel for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But apparently Samantha might still be there.
Oh, okay.
So guests have reported hearing the sound of a ball bouncing in the hallways.
Nice.
When there are no children around.
There you go.
Some have also claimed to see a little Victorian-era girl giggling before disappearing into thin air.
Oh.
And then there's a portrait hanging near the staircase of Samantha, and where she's holding flowers. And
wait, like still in the hotel today?
Yeah.
There's a portrait of her?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean,
yeah,
I guess
I feel like you have a tragic death in your hotel, you kind of have to, like, pay homage to the person who died.
That would freak me out.
Especially, like, a senator's daughter.
No, I
died
agree.
Tragically.
I definitely agree, but, like, could you imagine being someone checking in? Like, you're from Boston, and you're, like, staying at the hotel. You're like, oh, that's cool, and the bellboy's carrying up your suitcase. And you're like, oh, who's that? And it's like, oh, that's a four-year-old that fell down these stairs and died. You're like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's the dead girl that people still see.
Breakfast is at 7. Yeah, that's a little bit of a tough one. But, no, I get why they do it. But it's just like, ooh. Yeah.
But another thing about the portrait is that some people say that her
eyes move,
her expression changes.
Oh,
as like she's trying to communicate with the people passing by.
Oh, geez, what does the expression change?
I'm not sure. I think it depends on the person and it depends on the situation.
Someone walks by and goes, "I fucking hate balls," and then she starts to frown.
Little tear rolls down her cheek. She sticks up the middle finger.
Oh, children aren't allowed to, like, dude, imagine if, like, Mr. Mosby was in charge of that hotel. She's just, like, flipping him off as he walks by. Oh, man. That'd be a cool crossover. Mr. Mosby in the haunted Driscoll Hotel.
Dude.
I don't know how
we should get him to go on our ghost hunt there.
That would be crazy.
That would be sick.
I wouldn't hate ghost hunt. I feel like this would be a good one to ghost hunt at, because obviously you just stay at the hotel and then just, like, when things are quiet, just, like, go down in the lobby and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's got some, like, tangible things that you can see if they happen, like if the girl's expression changes.
Absolutely.
Then that's, you know, that's significant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next ghost is the cowboy.
Ooh.
He's said to visit musicians. Like, so a bunch of famous musicians have stayed at the Driscoll over time. And multiple, I think specifically female musicians, have reported seeing the cowboy.
Oh, tell me more about the cowboy.
So, the Driscoll has been a favorite spot for a lot of musicians.
I wonder how come.
I don't know. It's a nice place. If you're on tour, you want to stay, have a nice.
That's fair. Austin's a big city. Like, you're going to, like, that makes sense.
Yeah. So singer Annie Lennox was staying at the Driscoll when she stepped out of the bathroom, and she found a cowboy looking at her outfit on, like, the bed. Like, she had laid out her outfit, and there was a dude in her room, like, looking at it.
Huh.
Yeah. And then as she blinked, he vanished.
He just vanished. So, couple different thoughts there. First off, that's not how I thought that was going to go. I thought she stepped out of the shower, the cowboy's going to be looking at her, or something like that.
No, he's apparently a pretty nice,
respectful
guy.
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind was, like, naked cowboy, like, little cowboy hat over his, like, his dong. Just like, howdy, ma'am.
Doing the naked man?
Yeah, that would be
I Met Your Mother.
That would be a tough one. No, but then the other thought is, like, he totally could have fucked with her and been like, "You're wearing this," and then just disappeared. And then the whole night would have been like, "Oh damn, the ghost cowboy shit on my outfit."
Just oof.
Yeah. But yeah, so just looking at the outfit and then disappeared. Wow, that's like. Yeah, he does feel, like, just based on that story alone, just a very, like, calming energy, like, just, like, a supportive, kind of calming energy. Like, obviously, like, if I saw that, I think that would be, of the spirits that you've listed, be the one that I'd be the least freaked out about.
Yeah.
Like, just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like the owner of the hotel and any child ghost freaks me out a little bit.
I know, but I do feel like I agree with you. I think you just saying that story, like, they have a life and an energy that adults can't have. They have, like, this innocence and stuff like that. And I think we think it's sad because that innocence was taken and their life was taken way too early. But do they know that? Like, I'd be interested to get, like, see if we can get, like, a medium on or something. Like, did they know that their, like, life got taken too early? Or do they still have that spirit with them in the afterlife?
Because I do think, like, spirit.
Yeah. But I do think, like, a lot of, like, child ghosts that you hear for the most part, obviously I don't want to be painting broad strokes, but I think in a lot of stories the children ghosts are the happy ones, and I think that's what freaks us out the most. But I don't know if, like, they themselves are, like, maybe mischievous but not malicious.
Yeah, they're just being kids.
Yeah, they're just kids being kids. But yeah, no, I agree, kids freak, like, a kid ghost would freak me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of all of the three so far, the cowboy is definitely, like, the chillest.
Yeah.
Seeming. Mm-hmm. Although, I guess, like, Mr. Driscoll.
He seems like a happy, like.
Yeah, he's just like, hey man, you gotta
he's definitely
for me?
Fat. Like, I don't, like, there's no way that he's not fat.
Wearing a three-piece suit.
Three-piece
suit. Smoking a cigar.
Pocket watch.
Yeah.
Big cowboy hat. What was that show when we were kids? The, Doug Dimmadome.
Fairly Odd Parents.
Yes, yeah, like the big ass hat. like wearing, obviously not that, but like just a big hat. Like he's holding his suit like front with his hands like in the pot. Like, you got a light boy and like stuff like that. Like, yeah, like I probably wouldn't want to tell him like the political and social state of the country, because you'd probably hear some interesting opinions out of him. But like, in terms of like, he does feel like a jolly soul. Yeah, it feels like all three of these like aren't
no, they're all pretty good so far.
Yeah, like not malicious spirits. But do you have more? I keep getting in your way. Do you have more?
No, so another female musician, so Johnette Napolitano, who performs with the band Concrete Blonde.
Oh, okay.
Had a similar experience with the cowboy, which left such an impact on her that she actually wrote a song about him.
Oh, shit.
It's called Ghost of a Texas Ladies Man.
Oh, that's actually a sick song.
Which like, kind of forever memorialized the encounter with this guy.
Nice. And let me rephrase. Sick song title. I have not heard it. I do want to listen to it now. Like, we should.
I listened to it earlier. It was pretty interesting. She was talking about how like she was like in her towel, like very similar to Annie Lennox. Like,
wait,
she was
so they're both in their towels?
Yeah, she picked up her towel in it or something. yeah, you should listen to it later though.
So that's when this guy shows up, is when chicks are in towels.
Yeah, I guess.
That's great.
So maybe he's not.
Maybe he's not.
Maybe he's not great.
Maybe he's not so innocent.
But yeah, no one knows who he was for sure, like in life. But he comes around when female musicians are staying at the hotel.
And waits till they're in towels. And then just
and waits for them to go in the
but
shower.
Also like has a calming enough presence where they're not freaked out after.
They write songs about him.
Yeah.
And not in like a that was terrifying way. It's like he was suave. He was like a suave guy. It's really, really crazy.
That's insane. That this guy is getting away with like being creepy even in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, nah, he's cool. Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
man.
So cool. I'm going to write a song about
him. Yeah, that's kind of sick.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to
have if I'm ever a ghost.
Yeah, sure.
I want to have such an impact on someone that they write a song about.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Most ghosts just get the fucking dude from Ghost Adventures going, I feel an entity here, like, it's sad, like,
Aaron, go in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah, this ghost gets a song, and most ghosts are just like over here, and they get that guy with black sweatbands on his wrist for no reason.
Who
at
gets
all.
Angry for no yeah. reason in every episode?
I feel taken over by the ghost right now. I want to punch you in the fucking face. And you're like, oh, jeez.
Aaron, I'm going to lock you in the basement. If you don't, I'm gonna kick you in the face.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so aggressive.
That's so funny.
So this is, like, probably the saddest one.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Well, okay. Maybe
I mean, the
on
kid,
par with the kid.
I was going to say, kid falling down the stairs is top-tier sadness.
But so this is the story of Room 525, specifically Ooh. Room 525. So this room holds like a lot of tragic energy.
Oh, gee.
So in the late 1800s, a young bride checked into it after she was left at the altar by her fiance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I feel like everyone knows where this is going.
Kinda.
So she was heartbroken and alone, and she ended up taking her own life in the bathtub.
Jesus.
And now her spirit is said to roam the halls in a Victorian wedding dress, forever trapped in the sorrow of that fateful day.
Yeah. That's pretty negative energy.
So the crazy thing is...
That's bad juju.
About 100 years later...
Yeah.
In 1991, a Houston socialite checked into Room 525 after her fiancé called off their engagement. She was last seen entering the room with multiple shopping bags after she, I think, stole his credit card.
And, solid.
And
respected.
Maxed them all out
yeah.
to you to like basically be like an FU.
Sure.
She was later found in the bathtub, that very same bathtub, having taken her own life.
Oh my gosh.
Since then, guests have reported seeing a spectral figure carrying shopping bags and hearing strange whispers and experiencing sudden cold spots.
Yeah, I mean, okay. You got one... bride that offs themselves in the bathtub, you got ghosts. You got two brides that off themselves in the bathtub, you got hella ghosts.
The crazy thing...
That's great.
The
Both
crazy
of them
thing
in
to
the
me,
same room?
That's what I was going to say, is like, that's the crazy thing is that it's Room 525. Like, there are many floors on this
sure.
hotel.
Yeah.
Many rooms.
At least five.
And...
With at least 30...
Like the two brides who have committed suicide
sure.
in this hotel were in the same room.
That's crazy.
Like, that doesn't seem coincidental.
No. But, like, and that's a weird one, too, because it's, like, that's the type of shit that, like, you're not getting told that when you, like no one was like, oh, hey, you're checking into 525 just to let you know this happened here. Like, she
yeah.
had no idea.
No,
she
just
wouldn't was,
know.
Like, shopping, and she checked into that room set. Like, that's wild. That's crazy. That might be the craziest.
Which makes me think maybe the first bride had an impact on the decision made by the second
maybe.
Bride. Like, maybe
but
she was like, the same thing happened to me.
But that would be, like, evil energy then to try to influence.
Yeah.
But maybe if it's, like, a draining energy and she was in the same, like, headspace, then it was, like...
Or maybe, like, she didn't want to be alone.
That's...
And she was, like... This person had the same situation as me. Like, I want her to feel
that's
the same
creepy.
Things that I felt.
And that's also just, like, wild that, like, she got that of all the hotel rooms.
I know.
That she got that hotel room. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, it feels, like, very kismet. Like, all things in their,
yeah,
like proper place kind of thing.
Sure.
I mean, that's not a very good way of describing that, but, like, I guess fate.
Yeah. No, I was not expecting that story. That's pretty wild.
No, it's,
so.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's not one that you expect to read. Like, two people in the same exact situation taking their own lives in the same bathtub. Like, not even just the same room.
No.
But it's the bathtub of the same room.
Yeah. I'd be interested to, like, touch the bathtub and, like...
I feel like there's got to be energy. Like, that's got
to
be...
has to be.
That's got to be a contributing factor.
As someone
the energy
who's,
of it.
As someone who's skeptical, how do you, like... Let's rant... Okay. I'm going to break it down into two parts. As someone who's skeptical, give us your rating of, like, haunted or nah. Of, we're going to pat... That's patent pendant. Or trademark incoming. Haunted or nah.
Merch coming eventually.
No, kidding. But haunted or not for the hotel, And then give me your, like, haunted or not explanation or logic behind that specific room.
I think this hotel, I think I'm a little more leaning on the skeptical side.
Okay.
Like, obviously, the places that we've covered in previous episodes have been like, oh, yeah, like, if anywhere's haunted, it's this place. I think this hotel in particular, I don't know, like, I think I have to go there and, like, feel the energy there
okay.
in order to determine what I actually think. But, yeah, I think I'm leaning a little more towards the skeptical side. I think that there's, like, definitely an energy there, but I'm not sure that it's, like, the spirits of former people. I think
okay.
it might just be, like, oh, yeah, like, stuff's happened here kind of thing.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Where do you fall?
Well, okay, now give me your second piece, that room specific.
That room is the one piece that, like without that room story, I think this place would have probably been a complete nah for me.
Okay.
Just because I feel like the portrait, like, so many paintings, the eyes move, the expression changes,
sure.
quote-unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
we've
people
seen
see what they see.
All that stuff, yeah, yeah.
And I think, but I think that the crazy room 525 story is the only piece of it that's like, yeah, no, there's something weird going on there
yeah.
that, like, science can't really explain.
Sure.
So I would say I'm on the line with room 525, and the hotel overall I would lean more toward the nah side.
Okay.
But if anywhere in the hotel was haunted, it would be room 525.
I gotcha. Yeah, I think for me, I'm leaning more towards the haunted side, just because, I mean, dude, any place, I mean, okay, so you got to break it down, like, what is, I guess in my philosophy or opinion, like, any place that has life not coming, like, any place that has life coming to an end in an unresolved way, that people are reporting seeing spirits, having spirits there, I tend to believe that because the story's there, the experiences and the encounters are there, so therefore, haunted. So I think you got both. You got life coming to an unresolved end in multiple cases. I think the child and then the two brides. I think the owner of the hotel is one that, like, a little bit more up in the air because, like, what does unresolved mean? That might be a life that was maybe a little bit more resolved. But yeah, I think the other ones are definitely more resolved or more unresolved. And then I think that room, that's just too crazy. I mean, I'm sure this coincidence has happened more than we know, obviously.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it's one hotel, the same room, years apart, happened twice, in the same bathtub, in the same setting, all
yeah, like
stuff.
It's not even just two deaths happening in the same room. It's two specifically brides whose fiancés left them dying in the bathtub in the hotel.
Yeah.
In the specific room. So crazy. that's a little bit crazy.
I think that's mind blowing for me. So I'm leaning towards the haunted end of the spec.
I definitely understand. Yeah, this place it's one of the places that I think I'm a little more skeptical of in terms of the places that we're covering, but definitely maybe.
Gotcha.
Definitely maybe. That's my diagnosis. Definitely maybe.
Definitely maybe. Well, I vibe with it. Let's hit pause, reload on another drink, and then I'll get into my story.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. Sweet. So I'm getting into it for mine.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
I took that little break to refill, so I am good to go. I'm ready to
nice.
Ready to spirits and spirits it up.
Let's do it. So when you think of a place that potentially might be the most haunted of all places, what do you think of?
I feel like I think of, like, I don't know, like, funeral homes probably comes
okay.
to mind. Maybe cemeteries.
Gotcha.
Are we talking a cemetery today?
Yeah, so we are. We're talking a cemetery, which I think is funny because I forgot that cemeteries could be haunted. It wasn't until I was doing my research where I was like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense.
I feel like you forget that, like, outside places can have ghosts too.
Absolutely.
Because it's so, like, I think in terms of places that I would, like, feel confident saying they're definitely haunted, cemeteries are lower on the list, actually, because, like, there's so many more factors.
I agree.
Going into, like, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, all that stuff in cemetery. You don't know people.
Dude. Yeah, everyone be tasted at a cemetery.
Yeah, you don't know people.
Crazy.
People are into some weird stuff.
Yeah, you know what? Yes, they are. So I am doing the Oakwood Cemetery. Have you heard of it before?
Never heard
of it. Ooh, so we're going into it fresh. Cool. So it used to be called the City Cemetery. And it was the oldest of its kind, or is the oldest of its kind. It's a public burial site in the city of Austin. It dates back to around 1850. That was when there's the first record of burials in the Oakwood Cemetery.
So it's the oldest cemetery in Austin?
Yes. Public cemetery in Austin.
Okay.
Oldest public cemetery in the city of Austin.
Would the private ones be like church?
Maybe, yeah.
Church cemeteries or something?
They're also too, so like mid-1850s is when we get our first public records of it being, like, people being buried in, at that point, the city cemetery, now known as the Oakwood Cemetery. We don't know beforehand, and it's very possible that people were being buried there beforehand, but records weren't kept of those things in that. Records were hard to come by because you got to think it's different than Boston in 1850 and stuff like that. It's different than Massachusetts or the East Coast and stuff like that. Like, this is still a land that is very much being developed. In you know, early 1800s, Massachusetts had been around for almost 100 years and stuff like that. They're not the case of this.
And even then, like, I don't know when the printing press was invented, but, like, it's not like they're mass producing these records. Like, it's
absolutely,
it's one copy, and like, if something gets spilled on it, or if it gets set on fire for whatever reason, or like it gets dirty and unable to read it, like, that could
100%. So so we start off on a bang. The first people that were buried at Oakwood Cemetery were actually European settlers that were killed in Comanche attacks.
Oh.
So they were the first people that were buried there. For those people, what, how would you summarize a Comanche attack to someone that doesn't know what that is?
I mean, I don't know them specifically, but I imagine probably pretty violent.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a Native American attack or combat, basically, on European settlers. I mean, also other tribes and stuff like that. These were European settlers that were killed by Native Americans.
Like, I've seen 1883, and in 1883, they're going from Texas, like, up the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
And, like, they get attacked by some Native American tribes, and it's like, they get scalped.
Yes.
They get
shot. Brutal stuff.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. So, we start off with kind of a bang of the first people being buried there were people that were killed in Comanche attacks. But what we now know is that that was actually a Native American burial ground. So they didn't know that at the time. So they were burying European settlers that were killed in Comanche attacks on a European, or not a European, sorry, an Indian burial ground. So that definitely plays into, in my opinion, the conflicting energy that exists in this place.
Yeah, I will also say, anytime that you hear, like, that it's on a Native burial ground, like, for some reason, that just, like, brings out all of the haunts. Like,
yeah.
so many of these places that are built on top of Native American burial grounds are like the most haunted places on earth. So,
well, I think there's a lot of energy there. It's a very sacred space and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So then to have that, and then to have people that died at the hands of Native, it creates probably a weird energy.
A confusing energy.
Yeah, confusing energy that gives way for spirits, maybe an opening of a portal of such? Are we talking P open? A little portal open?
I don't know, man. You tell me.
You know what? I will keep going and you tell me.
All right.
Is there a portal open? We don't know.
Let's find out.
Let's find out. A little portal action. So at the beginning of the 20th century, it got renamed to the Oakwood Cemetery, and they added an extra 40 acres onto the cemetery.
That's so much space.
It is a lot of space. So an extra 40 acres, which it already had a lot of space, and then they added 40 acres.
How many bodies is that?
I have the number, so I will get there. Okay. So another interesting thing that they did at the beginning of the 20th century is they started burying people in different sections based on ethnicities and stuff like that. So there was a Jewish section of the cemetery. There was a Latino section of the cemetery. There was a African-American section of the cemetery. So every nationality, ethnicity, all that stuff had different sections of the cemetery. So that was an interest. When I came across that, I was like, oh, I think that's interesting, right? I looked at it two ways. One of which I was like, well, it's good that they let everyone be buried there. Because obviously, who's in charge at the time?
White people. Yeah. White men.
White men. So, like, one thing where you're like, well, at least everyone gets buried there. But also, like, you would think maybe we could be buried next to everyone. But I guess not. They want to section it out. So, I found it, that was something that, like, pinged the mind of, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So,
yeah.
Which, again, like, I think that probably leads into, like, there being a weird energy in this place to some extent. So, yep, they added a chapel, over the time, it was remodeled in 1944, so there's a church in there, but what really makes this cemetery different, than other ones is that there actually is some intriguing people that have been buried at this cemetery, which actually are some of the haunting, some of the spirits that are cited in the cemetery. So, like, so I'll get into some of the names. So, John Barclay Armstrong, he was a Texas Ranger, a U.S. Marshal, and a rancher, and he apprehended the legendary killer John Wesley Hardin. So I'll get into kind of the two of them. Susanna Dickerson was one of the few survivors of the Alamo. John Henry Falk, he was a radio personality. He doesn't really haunt the place, but that's the list that I could found had him in it. Thomas Green was a Civil War general, a Confederate Civil War general. But yeah, those are some of the people that everyone sees around the cemetery. So I'll get into kind of all their stories.
Oh, I got you had like a bunch of old timey, like violent death people, and then all of a sudden you were just like, in this radio guy.
Yeah.
Who like doesn't even really hang around there anymore.
No, he's like
just in there.
He's just dead in there. But but yeah, no, like the list that I found had like the list of like, these are the people that haunt the place. These are who they are. And also this radio guy. Which wouldn't it be funny if he did haunt the place? He was like, all right, back to channel 103. Like, you're talking with Davey and Crockett. Like,
dude, he does the cemetery local radio station.
Yeah.
For the ghosts.
Yep. I don't know why that like made me go to what was that movie? Hubie Halloween, where like half it is like the radio station, narration and stuff like that. Hubie Halloween. It was a goated movie. It was severely underrated. All right, so Florida senators, governors, even a postmaster have the Oakwood as their final resting spot. So it is kind of a who's who. There's a lot of people buried there, and a lot of reputable people over the years as well. What's your guess on how many people are buried here?
Okay, so we've got 40 additional acres.
Yep.
It was already a large landmass. Dude, how many people per acre? That's... Oh. I'm going to go... This is probably going to sound crazy. Like, I'm probably going to be, like, the biggest dummy on the block. I'm going to go, like, 400,000.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. What? Yeah, I wish you didn't go for a big number because I was going to tell you a big number. Like, now my number feels small.
Daniel, edit that out.
Yeah.
redo that part.
All right. So, there is 23,000 people buried in this cemetery.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot of people. That's it's a not 400,000, but it's a lot of people in this Austin city limits cemetery. So, like, when I saw that number, I was like, 23,000 people. Like, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's like the current, it's like almost the current population of our town.
Yeah. No, that's like, so I thought that was crazy. When I read that, and because of that, because there's 23,000 people laid at rest in this Oakwood Cemetery, there's a lot of paranormal activity. Like, people report all kinds of sightings, sounds, lights, energy, all this kinds of stuff. Like, it's, I mean, 23,000 people in any place is a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, that was one of those ones where, like, I saw that and I was like, yeah, no, this makes sense. This place is probably pretty haunted. Like, there's a lot of different energy and stuff like that. But there is some more notable spirits than others. So, the first of which, so I'm going to save one for last because there's one that I want us to get into kind of a tangent about. So I'm going to save one for last, but let's start with Thomas Green. So Thomas Green, like I said, was a Confederate general, and he was actually thought of as one of the more brilliant military minds behind the Confederacy, or at least that was like what his colleagues and stuff thought of him. Like, they respected his military knowledge and tactics and stuff like that. Again, Confederate colleagues respected that.
Yeah.
But he was seen as a pretty smart general, and he is seen there. Anyone that reports seeing him in full military regalia. So, like, he is in his full garb and stuff like that. He died during the Red River Campaign, which was... It was an Army-Navy combined, like, joint operation to try to take over Louisiana and get to Texas. And he and his troops stormed a gunboat, or, like, were charging at a gunboat when he died. So people can see him in his full military regalia, like, charging towards things. So that is how people report to see him, because that's how he passed away.
I was going to ask, is he just, like, moping around because he lost?
No, I mean, so they, like, they think he, is just, like, kind of stuck in this loop, and he just is always, like, phew, like, charge, charge, like, he is always, if you see him, he's charging.
Can you imagine
that
getting
me
to,
charging.
Can you imagine getting to be the ghost that tells that schmuck that his side lost? Oh my god!
Could you imagine? It's some just very like nonchalant
to be that
guy.
Ghost.
Yeah,
I would love to be that ghost.
That'd be pretty funny. So yeah, he's the first one on the list that like is a notable, like, people see him and see him in his like full dress, charging and stuff like that. And they're like, we know exactly who that is. That is Thomas Green and stuff like that. So I thought that was a notable one. I thought that was an interesting one. Next one on the list is Susanna Dickinson. Like I said, she is one of the only survivors of the Alamo. The Alamo was settlers. They settled in Texas at the Alamo. There was Mexican forces that tried to take over that position. It was a brutal, brutal gunfight. It turned into... It was such a brutal gunfight that everyone ran out of ammo, and then they were just charging at each other with knives, bayonets, fists, all that stuff. Like, it was the a quite literal fight to the death.
That sounds terrifying.
Sides. Yeah, it was a pretty brutal, brutal experience and encounter for everyone involved. The Mexican forces ended up winning. Santa Anna was the in charge of the Mexican forces. Susanna Dickerson is actually Dickinson. Sorry, not Dickerson. Dickinson. Dickinson. Nope. Pause. Susanna Dickinson is a very interesting figure, both paranormally. Is paranormally a word?
Sure.
Sure. All
let's
right.
Coin it.
Yeah, let's roll with it. Coin it. Heard it here first, folks.
Patent pending.
She is a very interesting figure, both paranormally but also historically, because she's one of the only survivors of the Alamo. A lot of our account of what happened at the Alamo is from her. Like, she is, like, when you read about the Alamo in history books and learn what it is and stuff like that, a lot of the account comes from her telling of what happened.
Was she, like, up in the fighting?
No, so she was a civilian, so her husband died brutally in the fighting, but she was just a civilian. And her child were brought into the garrison for their, so they were there. They realized this was going to be a pretty gnarly fight. They brought her and her kid into the garrison, and had them kind of hunker down there. She even claims that she, like, prayed with Davy Crockett in there, who, I'm going to be honest, me and you both, pretty big history people.
Yeah.
We did history in high school, love to just sit around, debate history. I did not know Davy Crockett was a real person.
Yeah, no, I also didn't.
No idea, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Whatsoever. Like, I was reading it, and it's like, yeah, she claimed to have prayed with Davy Crockett, and I was like,
wait, what?
Really? And then I got really mixed up. I did a 10-minute, like, Google dive of, like, Davy Crockett, Johnny Appleseed. Like, I was, like, I was all over the place.
I thought
stuff like
Johnny
that.
Appleseed's a real guy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I knew that one. Yes. I didn't know that Davy Crockett was a real guy.
Who wears the pot on the head?
Johnny Appleseed. I don't know. I don't know who wears the raccoon skin.
I think that's Davy Crockett.
That might be.
So, I think he's the guy that wears that.
Okay. The raccoon skinned hat.
Yes. So, yes. He's a real guy. She apparently prayed with him. And so, it's interesting. So, her husband just got brutally murdered along with every other settler that she was there with. And Santa Anna actually offered to bring her to Mexico with him. And, like, adopt her child and all this kind of stuff. And she declined.
Is it, like, a wedding invitation? Like,
potentially.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't find anything that specifically said that, but, like...
Adopting your child, I feel like that's...
Yeah, and, like, having you come with him.
You,
like,
don't do that...
I don't think it was going to be coming as friends.
Like,
I don't think
that guy, you don't do that without other
ulterior motive.
Yeah.
So I do think, I think he tried to marry her, and she said no. She was like, nope, I'm good. And she thought she was going to die from that. Didn't. She was able to go off, live her life. She died mid-60s, but she can be seen walking around the cemetery kind of frantically and all that kind of stuff due to her experience at the Alamo, which for Texans, I think, is a big deal. Like, the Alamo, I think, you know, any of our listeners in Texas, if we have any listeners in Texas, just please comment, reply, because I do have some friends that live down there, and it's like the Alamo is a big deal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the last on our list is John Barclay Armstrong. He was, like I said, a Texas Ranger and a U.S. Marshal. His claim to fame was that he hunted down John Wesley Hardin, who was an American just outlaw, like good old-fashioned outlaw, like gunfighter. When I say good old-fashioned, it makes it like sound romanticized. Like, apparently, he just killed a shit ton of people. Like, he claims to have killed his first person at 15.
Wow.
And then just kept on killing. All said and done, he claims, again, he claims, but when he was finally caught and sentenced by Wesley, who managed to track him down and apprehend him on a train in Pensacola, Florida. Which, talk about, like, movie-type shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, on a train, catch the, like, that's sick.
I'm picturing, like, them on top of the train, like, fighting from, like, different train cars
absolutely.
Or something.
Like, I'm taking you in.
Yeah.
Not over my cold, dead body. Like, that's how that definitely went down. But he claims to have killed 42 men by the end when he got captured. So
that's like one of the worst serial killers in American history.
If true. So yeah, that is another. So the Texas Ranger Barclay is the one that is buried there. But people do claim to have seen Barclay and Harding like duel, like shooting at each other, going back and forth in the cemetery. So it does. It seems like the energy in this cemetery and the hauntings in this cemetery and stuff like that are so all over the place that, like, I don't know, reading it, like, I didn't think I got, like, a... There's definitely, like, stories there. There's people that met their demise with unresolved life and didn't reach their full potential and stuff like that. But I'm not really getting, like, a negative, evil energy in the cemetery. It just seems chaotic. Like, it just seems like there's so much going on that, like, no one energy has a hold of the place.
Yeah, like, a lot of outlaws, a lot of killers, a lot of people who, like, experienced crazy stuff.
Yeah, but just, like, if we were able to go in there, which we're not, it's highly guarded and blocked off at night and stuff like that, but if we were able to go in there, I'd feel like I'd get, like, kind of just this, like, whoa, like, head turn, like, if you were seeing stuff, if you had the ability to encounter and stuff like that, like, it would just be like, whoa, what is that, like, it would just kind of be like, you walk into a party that's already been going on for, like, 30, 40 minutes, and just everyone's, like, going on about their business around you, and you're just, like, looking back, but it doesn't feel like some of our stuff where you're like, that's an evil energy, like, there's an evil energy that has a hold over place, and I don't feel like I feel it reading this story.
Yeah. No, it feels like there's just a lot of different energies at play.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just like one overwhelming
yes,
one.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So our last person that haunts or is seen haunting this place is Eula Phillips. Eula Phillips was a 17-year-old woman when she was killed. She was murdered on Christmas Eve in 1885, where she was brutally murdered with an axe. She was, like I said, brutally murdered with an axe. They accused and arrested and found guilty her husband of the crimes.
Which she was married at 17?
Yeah, she was married at 17. I mean, you gotta think, this was like old west type, like Austin, Texas in the 1800s was pretty, like, you know, I think everyone was getting married young back then, but like I think even more so on the frontier and stuff. stuff like that. Which obviously it wasn't truly like they had established settlements up to California, Washington, Oregon at this point, but like it was still more so a frontier than New York, Boston, all that kind of stuff. But yes, she was married at 17. Her husband was accused and found guilty of the crimes, or her crime of murdering her on Christmas Eve. But he actually was exonerated and freed because other people that were killed in the same way were starting to show up all over Austin. So she was a victim of the, from what I can find, the first ever recorded serial killer. If I told you who was the first serial killer, who would you have said?
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. So this serial killer was 3 years before Jack the Ripper. His name was the Servant Girl Annihilator.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Like, that's not great.
No, that's a gruesome ass name. He was the Servant Girl Annihilator. And this is kind of the tangent that I wanted to get into because I was reading this. So Eula Phillips is seen around the cemetery, walking around kind of in period-specific garb and all that stuff. And mediums have encountered her, and they say her energy is just confused. Like, she was murdered so fast and so quickly that, like, she's just confused. Like, this is what the mediums are claiming. Her energy and what she's saying is like, oh, I'm dead. Like, what happened?
So would that make her the first victim of the first serial killer?
Recorded, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I can understand why she was probably pretty confused.
Yeah. So the Servant Girl Annihilator, also known as the Midnight Assassin.
That's got more of a ring to it.
Yes. Yeah. Unidentified serial killer in Austin, Texas in 1884 and 1885. There was 8 axe murders. So this guy did 8 axe murders. It was, let me see, because I have it written down somewhere. It was 7 women and 1 man. 5 of the women were black, 2 were white, and the man was black. I will say the little asterisk next to the man was that he was in bed with his girlfriend, so they were both killed at the same time.
Kind of caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, so I do think like this person's profile was
women
in bed. Like, he was murdering them in their bed, or there were a couple of them he dragged outside unconscious but still alive and then killed them outside and stuff like that. So he was brutally murdering them with an axe, and 6 of the women had sharp objects inserted in their ear.
Oh.
So they had, like, sharp stuff, like, stabbed into their ear.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, so this guy was, like, a true serial killer in the sense of, like, killed for sport.
Pleasure.
Yeah, like, there was some sadistic pleasure involved. And had, like, a calling card marking and stuff like that.
Did they catch him?
No, they didn't. Well, okay. Two accounts, and I'll get into it, and I'll let you pick which one you believe more and stuff like that. So actually, Eula Phillips and Susanna Hancock were actually two of the last people killed by the serial killer, so they actually weren't the first ones. They were 2 of the last. They were both white. So knowing what we know about serial killers in history, that was probably when attention was garnered to the subject, unfortunately, is when the 2 white women were killed.
Yeah.
There was a couple people accused of killing them and stuff like that, but again, then they'd get accused, then another one would show up dead after someone had been accused. And it's like, well, obviously they didn't kill him because someone else just turned up dead. So that was kind of like a process that happened a couple times and stuff like that. So Eula Phillips' husband, James Phillip, was convicted. Witnesses testified that if he ever found her to be unfaithful, he'd murder her. So I think people just assumed she ended up murdered. He said he'd murder her. That's good enough. Let's arrest him. So, again, later overturned. So what's interesting, though, is that there actually is a tie to Jack the Ripper. And there's some people that actually think that Jack the Ripper was just this guy who moved to London after living in Austin.
That feels like a stretch.
It feels like a stretch to me.
That's a far move.
It is a far move. I think it's one that people made during that time, but it is a far move. I do think like the MOs kind of line up a little bit. So I do think people like attribute that. There was even a couple people that like authorities in London questioned because they were American, like cowboys and stuff like that. So there were people that they, even authorities in London at the time, were like, these guys potentially might be connected to Bolt. So there was like people at the time that were saying these guys might be associated with Bolt. Like front page article in the New York Times on December 26th, 1885. 400 men were arrested during the course of the year, and was really kind of just, there was this frenzy over it and stuff like that. The African American community and like some voodoo practitioners believed like their MO of the guy was that it was a white man who had magic powers, and he had the ability to become invisible and stuff like that, because there was no dogs no dogs started to bark or fences, or like there was no really like mark, like this guy was kind of in, out, killed, left his mark, and then like left the mark he wanted, but he didn't leave any trace other than that. So I think that was interesting. There has been a couple people, so I want to go over all the names. Do you mind? Like, can I go over all the names and people that were murdered and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's important to, like, give their story and stuff like that. So, Molly Smith was 25. She was murdered December 30th, 1884. Her husband, Walter Spencer, was seriously wounded. Her boyfriend, Claire Strand, and Christian Martinson, two Swedish servant girls, were seriously wounded. So, they weren't even killed. Were wounded. March 19th, 1885. So this guy tried to kill a lot more than he was actually capable of. Eliza Shelley was murdered the night of May 6th, 1885. Irene Cross was murdered with a knife on the 22nd, 1885. Clara Dick was wounded August 1885. Mary Ramey was 11. And she was murdered August 30th, 1885. And then her mother was seriously wounded. Gracie Vance and her boyfriend, Orange Washington, were murdered on the night of September 28th, 1885. Suzanne Hancock was murdered December 24th, 1885. Eula Phillips was December 24th, 1885. So that guy murdered two. Like, his last night, he murdered two.
Oh, wow.
Two different, like, they weren't, yeah, so it was very interesting and stuff like that.
And then he stopped.
Yeah, and then he stopped, maybe because he went to London. But the leading modern-day suspect, so in terms of, like, going over some of the evidence and stuff like that, there have been people, like, in 2014 and a couple podcasts that have gone over it and stuff like that. And Nathan Elling is the primary suspect this day and age. Based on psychological profiles, geographic, all this kind of stuff. He was a 19-year-old African-American cook. He worked in close proximity to all the crime scenes. And he actually was missing his pinky toe, which made it his footprint was very similar to a footprint found at the crime scene, which was pretty distinct because he was missing a pinky toe and stuff like that. And I think the most damning piece of evidence was that he was shot and killed by police while he attempted to assault a girl with a knife in February 1886. So,
Yeah, I feel like that seems pretty plausible that guy probably did it.
Yeah, like, oh, we caught him trying to do it again, and his footprint lined up with the crime scene.
Yeah, he was missing his pinky toe, as was the actual killer, and we found him assaulting a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
I feel like kind of case closed.
Case closed. I agree. So, I mean, the Jack the Ripper one is fun, but, like, that one's, like, yeah.
Yeah, that... Yeah. It's probably him.
Sure. So, yeah. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Haunted or not?
Again, I think if anywhere were to be haunted, this place has a good chance of it. Yeah. But I think, like, if I was to have any experiences there, I'd be a little more skeptical just because there's so many other things happening at cemeteries. Like, you've got wind, you've got crunching leaves.
Sure.
Like, you've got so many different things.
All that stuff.
That could be contributing to any noises or, like, sounds that you hear. So.
No, I agree. I think, like, in terms of the energy, like, I think this place feels different than other cemeteries. Like, would you at least agree on that?
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I think a lot of spirits that are uneasy, like, their life, like, which I guess, like, all cemeteries probably are filled with lives that ended long before they should have been and stuff like that. I think I'm of the opinion that this just feels different. Like, this feels like kind of a chaotic energy with a lot of people that met their demise in certain ways. But I do think, like, I don't know, just reading this, it's like, it's weird to say that it all, like, it doesn't have a positive energy, but it feels like it has almost like a party energy to some extent, where it's like, you just, there's so much going on and in different ways, and everyone's there and everyone met their demise, so everyone's kind of, like, together in that, but they're all have their individual stories, so they're not really overlapping with each other other than the people that are involved in the story. Like, it feels chaotic, but in a party-type way. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was the energy I got from it doing kind of the deep dive into history, and obviously the tangent of the serial killer and stuff like that. And I wonder how many more. I could only find one victim being buried there, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were others. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's a crazy, dude, 23,000 people buried there too.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah. So, crazy. So, anything else you got?
No, I feel like, what do you think, haunted or not?
I think haunted. Like, it just feels like, oh, so you know me, massive scaredy cat, like, a lot of this talk of, like, going and ghost hunting it and at certain places and stuff like that. This is one that I'd actually be pretty down to do. Both ours. The hotel is one that I'd be down to do, and this one, the cemetery, I'd be down to do too, because I don't know. I feel like the energy there feels rambunctious, but kind of in a fun way. Like, I don't know. I was drawn to it. Like, when I was doing my research of what places to do, this is the one that drew me in the most. Not, like, last week's was, like, it drew me in the most in a really negative way. The story I told, obviously, about the manor and stuff like that. But this one drew me in and, like, wow, like, this just feels like kind of like, it'd be cool to experience the energy and be someone that got to have an encounter in that place.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, I feel like we did Austin justice. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah, I think two major haunts in the city, and two like places that you can actually go visit. Like, you can go to the cemetery, you can go to the hotel. We could go to both of those places.
I would love to.
So
I would love
that'd to. Be pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, hey, well, we appreciate you all for listening. Please, please, please like, subscribe. We're going to have a whole slew of social media posts. Like, we got the TikTok going, right? We got the Instagram going, right? We're in works of getting kind of a website up with some of the facts and the documents and some of the pictures even that we brought up, because we want you guys to kind of be along for the ride when it comes to this stuff. Like, we're, you know, as far as we can tell, like, providing factual evidence and information. Like, we're not trying to sensationalize it. Like, this is what is actually, like, we're finding out there as true information. So we want you guys to be able to follow along with the documents, the stories, the encounters that are leading us to the conversations we're having and stuff like that. So again, please, please, please like, subscribe, comment. What cities do you want us to do? Stories you guys have had, let us know. And then, you know, pop on all the socials and, you know, go along or come along for the ride with us.
Yeah, we're there. At Spirits on Spirits Pod on socials. And you can also find the recipes for the drinks there as well.
Yeah, the probably, arguably the most important part of the podcast.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, keep on ghouling, guys. And we'll see you next week.
Cheers.